Welcome to ICTJ's podcast series, in which we discuss transitional justice issues from around the world. Today we're exploring the importance of including youth experiences and perspectives in transitional justice measures. With us we have Mesek Kamara, who has been instrumental in advocating for precisely these in Sierra Leone. Mesek spent most of his childhood amid civil war in Sierra Leone. After the war, he became a leader among the young generation there. At the age of 14, he helped establish a democratic child-led organization and was elected president of the National Children's Forum Network, which chaired children's input into the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. He is currently studying law at the University of London with the objective of becoming an international human rights lawyer. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
ICTJ recently launched a report titled Through a New Lens, a Child-Sensitive Approach to Transitional Justice. In this report, we discuss children as being particularly affected by armed conflict, both as primary targets of violence as well as indirect victims of human rights abuse. Mesa, can you tell us a little bit about what this means from the perspective of someone who's experienced conflict firsthand as a child?
I feel the report is very timely. For me personally, as a child, who was like I spent most of my childhood during conflict in Sierra Leone, I had to move from one point to another. In that respect, it was a very, very difficult situation. I lost my childhood, I lost my education, my family. Everything was like in disarray. There was no hope for the future. So a report that looks at children and see how grave the situation is and how we have been abused and how we continue to be abused in conflict situations, I feel it's very important, and it's a clarion call to the international community, to our national government, to our communities, to see children as not just people who can be targeted and their rights being abused, but that people that have their own rights.
Sierra Leone has seen significant efforts to address the legacies of the crimes committed during the Civil War, most notably through the Special Court for Sierra Leone and the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, or TRC. Can you tell us a bit about your experience promoting youth engagement in these and other transitional justice mechanisms in Sierra Leone?
I was indeed a leader of, well, the youth movement. We had what we call the Children's Forum Network. It was a platform that we created as children. So after the war, we felt the need of having a voice, a platform. So when these mechanisms came as part of the processes of post-conflict recovery, the Special Court and the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, we had our own voice. We had our own network, the Children's Forum Network. Through that platform, we were able to engage stakeholders from numerous sectors. We had meetings. We had consultations. Those were very, very, very important engagements. And it came from us because we made that call. We said we wanted to be involved. To have a voice and a say in these processes. Mm-hmm. We had a children's assembly, and in fact, I was opportune to be the speaker of that assembly where children came from across the country. That was a milestone. It was an important event so as to consult us, to reflect our views. And the result of that fed into the Truth and Reconciliation Commission report, which included testimonies from children across the country. We had our own special hearing, which we referred to as a thematic hearing on children. That was the Day of the African Child, where we made our own submission. The Children's Forum Network had its own submission on our views about how we move the agenda of children after the conflict. We also had the opportunity to put together our own report of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission report, which we call a child-friendly version of the TRC report.
Mm-hmm. It sounds as though the mechanisms in Sierra Leone were remarkably successful at implementing the perspectives of youth and then actually acting upon those perspectives. What lessons do you think this process can have for other Truth and Reconciliation Commissions in other parts of the world, such as the Truth, Justice and Reconciliation Commission in Kenya?
It's a very good question you've asked. You said Sierra Leone was really a good story, was a success story in terms of involving children. It depends on how we measure success. I personally would say, indeed, it was a success story because children were able to be part of a process, a wider process. We are consulted. But consultation is not just when you call a group of children together and ask them about their views. I feel consultation must go beyond that, which also involves having children as part of the implementation of these processes, not even the implementation, but the initiation of these processes. When we had the peace process in Lome, Togo, we had Sierra Leone, the Sierra Leone government and the fighting forces had the agreement. Children were not involved in those processes, and that was unfortunate. I wish we had some representation at that level, but yet all was not lost. Even when the peace accord was signed, we are given the opportunity to be involved into the processes. But look at the act that created the special court, the act that created the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. I felt there was not much involvement from our side, on the side of children. So for me, it's to recommend to Kenya and to other countries recovering from conflict who wish to bring on board transitional justice mechanisms involving children to look at what was missing in Sierra Leone.
One of the concerns frequently raised when considering incorporating children into transitional justice processes is how to address instances where children are simultaneously victims of forced recruitment, for example, and perpetrators of atrocities as members of armed groups. How, in your opinion, should this be addressed?
Another very good question. I feel very sad when we use the word perpetrators. In fact, it's a word I could not pronounce properly because I hate that word. I will never subscribe the very sad experience, the very traumatic experience children have gone through to refer to them as perpetrators. No. Children, we are never perpetrators and not perpetrators and should never be considered as perpetrators. The answer is simple. They just see children as victims. They are victims because they were very young. Like in my own case, I was only 11 years old when, you know, the rebels came into my village. One morning I went to fetch water and all that I could hear was bombardment, sound of gun everywhere. In fact, it was the time for me to go to school. I was going to fetch water to go to school in the morning. And because of that incident that happened that morning, everything about my life was disrupted. So assuming if I was used to go and fight, will you refer to me as a perpetrator? No. But even those those who were involved, those who carry arms, other children, I mean, they must still be considered as victims because it's something they did out of their own wish. They were not happy. How could a child carry a gun? In fact, we do not have the resources to buy guns. We do not manufacture guns. We are just children. We cannot use guns. So children are victims of forced recruitment, and children are not perpetrators. And even when we talk about transitional justice system or mechanisms, for instance, like the special court, what we should do for children is to protect them, is to ensure their voices are heard, and to give them a victim status in these processes, but not just that, to reinstall their hopes for the future, and making sure that all what they may have lost during their childhood amid conflict is something that the state can give back to these children. I mean, education, health, a better future.
You've spoken at length about the importance of not just giving children a platform from which to share their experiences and views, but for those experiences to be incorporated and implemented into the long-term transitional justice measures. Do you have any examples or recommendations for how that can be achieved?
When we talk about implementation, I feel it's the bedrock. It's in fact a cornerstone for whatever we do. Because without implementation, there is in fact no point to be engaged in these processes. So this is missing. I'm going to be very honest. I'm being very sincere. Even in Sierra Leone today, it's Truth and Reconciliation Commission reports, yet not implemented as required. We talk about reparations. I must say, some good has come so far. I'm impressed with some of the work that has been done. Because I heard the other day that the Sierra Leone government is now working towards reparation programs, which is all good news. And this is what we are looking forward to. But it's just not about reparations. It's also about making sure what happened is something that will not happen again. So the recommendation is this, is straightforward. When we pass laws, when we talk about transitional justice mechanism, we must also pass laws and policies that commit the states, not just the states, but all stakeholders that look, whatever we are going to do must be implemented. And that must be a law. So let us empower the youth. Let us empower children. Let's empower UNICEF. Let's empower the stakeholders and promote peace for a better world.
Well, thank you once again for your very important insights into this topic, Mesa. We've been speaking with Mesa Kamara of Sierra Leone. Learn more about ICTJ and read our recent report on children and transitional justice on ICTJ's website, www.ictj.org. Thanks once again, Mesa.
Thank you very much, Clara. It's a pleasure being with you today.